The Student Ministry Podcast you're about to hear is a sermon preached by Pastor Paul Chappell at the 2010 West Coast Baptist Youth Conference. Pastor Chappell has been serving as pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 25 years, and we hope this message will be a blessing to you. For more sermon resources, please visit preaching.lancasterbaptist.org.
After the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, God commanded that they would build a memorial. And each of the tribes of Israel took a stone out of the River Jordan, and they erected a monument there at a place called Gilgal to be reminded of the fact that God had delivered them from Egypt. By the way, it's a good thing sometimes to remember when God delivered you and saved your soul, and to remember that God called you out. And God said, I want you to establish a memorial in this place called Gilgal. Gilgal became a very special place in the hearts and minds of the children of Israel. Oftentimes, after they would go out and battle against the Canaanite kingdoms, they would come back to this place called Gilgal. After the Lord crashed down the walls around Jericho, they would come back to a place here called Gilgal. And no doubt they would enjoy their time in Camp Gilgal. In fact, the Bible says in chapter 10 and verse 43, and Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. This was the place of fellowship for the soldiers. They would take their sword and they would lay the sword down. Sometimes, no doubt, they'd wipe the blood off and talk about all of the victories they had. They would sit around the campfire at night and reminisce about how they had seen God work in their midst. And Gilgal was just a fun place of remembrance. It was a place of refreshment for the soldiers that fought with Joshua as they took over the promised land. Now, most of us, when we became Christians, we liked the idea that church and the youth group was sort of a Gilgal, a place where we could have some fellowship, hear some stories, enjoy being together with Christian people. And most of us were thankful that we could have some time of music and time of refreshing and time of preaching. And we like the fact that the Christian life provides for us a place like this, like youth conference, like teen camp, where we can just get together and reminisce about what God has done. But the truth is that even while Joshua and his men in Joshua chapter 11 were seated there at Gilgal, even while they were enjoying this place of fellowship there on the Jordan River, there were kings gathering to come against them and to literally destroy them. Even while they were there talking about the last battles they had won, the kings to the north, north of the Sea of Galilee, were planning to attack Joshua and to wipe him off the face of this planet. And I want to remind you, teenagers, that even as we are here in this Gilgal, or as Brother Kenny said last night, at the top of the mountain, even while we're here making decisions, hearing preaching, enjoying time together, there is an enemy planning to utterly defeat you the moment you get back home. There is an enemy determined to fight against you and to wreak havoc in your life. Even as we're here today, there are teenage girls considering abortion. Even as we're here right now, there are young men taking drugs, and there are those involved in various illicit lifestyles. There are Christian churches today compromising, and youth pastors compromising and piercing themselves so they can relate, and dyeing their hair so they can relate, and doing all kinds of worldly things. I'm saying the world today is changing, and sin is ravaging young people, and churches are acquiescing even at this moment when we need soldiers to stand in the battle. I think as our country now is becoming more pluralistic, and as people are turning to Eastern religion and all kinds of spirituality other than Jesus Christ, there is a hatred and a battle today against the name of Jesus Christ. I heard just this week about a school system in Tennessee where they were referring to various thoughts about how the world began. And in the textbook that was printed, there was an author who said, creationism is the myth that some Christians believe. My friend, creation is not a myth. It's the truth of the Word of God. Imagine if a textbook said something derogatory about Islam or Buddhism. Imagine how people would feel. But there's an attack today on the Word of God. There's an attack today on Christian living and holy living. There's an attack today on all that the Word of God teaches. And there needs to be, now more than ever, young men and young women who will not just enjoy Gilgal Youth Conference, enjoy maybe a chapel service or a football game at the Christian school or some time with other Christians. But now, more than ever, we need to realize it's time to get up out of the camp, out of our comfort zone, and go out and engage a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it is that they sat there at Gilgal in a comfort zone, enjoying themselves, but the Bible tells us that there were kings getting ready to come against them. Joshua 11 and verse 5, and when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. I want you to realize very clearly that had Joshua and his men stayed in their camp, these kings were getting ready to come down and crush them. There came a point in Joshua's life where he had to go out and engage the enemy and had to fight the battle that God had called him to fight. He would have to leave Gilgal and go fight once again. And we are challenging you this morning to leave Gilgal and to go out and stand up for Jesus Christ as a soldier of the cross. Now, someone says, why should I leave Gilgal? I like it. I like being comfortable. I like being around Christian people. And how could I leave this place and win someone to Christ or stand up for my Christian faith or demand that that textbook be removed or teach someone that life begins at conception or tell my friends that they ought to come to church and be with me? How can I do that and why should I do that? Well, I want to show you today how God wants to use you in spiritual battle. Notice, first of all, we need to leave Gilgal because God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for every one of our lives. Do you know that long before Joshua went into this battle, that God had already told Moses that they were going to win the battle? I want you to turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy 20 and verse number 1 for a moment. Hold your place in Joshua, but look at Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid because of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Now notice that God had already promised these people that God was going to fight for them, that their enemies were going to be defeated, and that his plan would be fulfilled in their life. And God has a plan for your life. And Jesus has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Word of God declares, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now when I think about God's plan, I'm reminded of this fact, that God knows the obstacles that I'm going to face. God knows the obstacles that you're going to face in your public school, yea, even in your Christian school, standing up for God. As you go out soul winning and take gospel tracts back into your community, there will be obstacles that you will face, but God knew and knows what those are. I think about the Canaanite kings, these five kings that wanted to come and destroy Joshua. These kings were men who were very mean and wicked and ungodly. Even there in the ruins of Hazor on the north side of Galilee, you can see in that particular area even today, looking down into the plains where they had gathered. And you can visit in this ancient city of Hazor, sometimes called Hazor, and you can see there the altar that was built. This altar was an altar used for human sacrifice. And it was not uncommon, as they tried to appease their pagan gods, that they would take little babies and they would throw them out onto the fire and take their lives as a form of sacrifice. They were wicked and ungodly men, and they were determined to take Joshua and utterly destroy him. They had about 300,000 soldiers, and they had about 10,000 horses and 20,000 chariots. They way outnumbered Joshua in the battle that was going to come their way. And sometimes you may feel outnumbered. Why? It seems like the world has MTV and rock music and rap music, and all we have are just a few Christian songs and a few good CDs here and there. And sometimes it seems like the television just pumps out all kinds of wickedness, and we just go to church just a little bit here and there. And you may feel sometimes outnumbered. But I'm going to tell you something. When God called Joshua to go north and fight these kings, God knew exactly what they were going to face. And when God told David to go out and fight Goliath, he knew exactly what he was telling David to do. And when God called Moses to Egypt and Daniel to Babylon and Nehemiah to Jerusalem, God knew exactly what he was doing. And when God saved you and brought you to this conference and gives you a purpose in your heart, God knows exactly what he's doing today with your life. There is nothing to fear. He already knows the obstacles that lie in your way. And he also knows how he's going to bring you through those obstacles. When I came to California and to Southern California back in 1986, we had our first service, and I was 24 years old and just getting started in the ministry. We had 12 people in our first service, and I was at that time the youth director and the janitor and the music director. And the music was good back then, by the way, very good music. I just told everybody, sing loud, and that's how I directed music. And I began to sense that there would be some problems as we started in the ministry. There were those that came and broke into the church and destroyed my library and took some of the things off the wall, my ordination certificate and college diploma, and stole some of the money that was there at the church, and others who threw rocks into the sign and destroyed the sign. And that was the first couple of days of ministry. And it seems like all along the way, year after year, there have been challenges and obstacles, but none of those have caught my God by surprise. God has a plan for our lives, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Psalm 139 and verse 2, thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. God knows our obstacles, and God knows our opportunity. You see, God knew that he wanted his children to have this promised land. Some 300,000 square miles of area. God had said, I want you to have it. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon have I given to you. And young people, I want to tell you something. There's an opportunity for you to claim today. There's a school waiting for revival. There's a neighborhood waiting for a teenage evangelist who share the gospel with his or her friends. I'm saying today, God has a plan for your life. Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. My friend, God has given you and he's given me a ministry. He has a plan for your life and mine. And it's a joy to know that even when the obstacles come, it did not catch God by surprise. He has a plan for my life. But I want you to notice, secondly, not only does God have a plan for your life, God has a promise for your life. God says, I want you to get up out of Gilgal. I want you to go out into the battle. And I want you to know that as you go, there's some promises you can depend upon. Now, notice back in Joshua chapter 11 and verse 6, and notice what the Lord says to Joshua here. Joshua 11 and verse 6. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Be not afraid because of them. By the way, don't be afraid because of one punk in the youth group. Don't be afraid because of one loudmouth, rebel-rousing guy in your class. Don't be afraid because of some boyfriend that's trying to pressure you into doing something immoral. Don't be afraid because the world says do this or do that. Here, God says, Joshua, I don't want you to be afraid of them. God says, I want you, Joshua, to know that tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. He said, I want you to know that I am going to be there for you, and I have a promise for you, and I want you to see this. God wants us to hear his promises. Our safety is in the Lord. Our safety is knowing that he is with us. I heard about a little girl that was having trouble sleeping because of a loud thunderstorm outside, and boy, the lightning was going, the thunder was going, and her mom came in, and she was kind of laying there with her and rubbing her forehead and telling her stories, and she said, Mommy, could you just stay with me all night? And she said, well, sweetheart, no, I've got to go back in and sleep with Daddy tonight. And the little girl thought about it, and then she said, the big sissy. Do you ever have fear come into your heart? Do you find sometimes that when you're going to pass out the gospel tract that maybe you're a little bit nervous to tell someone about Jesus Christ? Do you find sometimes that when you're about to give your testimony or even just say a prayer at youth group that maybe you find a lump come into your throat? But I believe God would say, be not afraid. The Bible says in John 10 and verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Hey, you are the apple of God's eye. You are safe in the hand of God. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He says, I've got a promise that I want you to hear. And he says, I will give the victory. But not only do we need to hear that promise at a conference like this, not only do we need to let it come into our heart that God's going to use us, God's going to help us, don't be afraid, but we've got to hold on to that promise even when the times get tough. Notice what happens in Joshua 11 and verse number 7. The Bible says, so Joshua came, and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto the great Zidon. Now notice, Joshua takes those promises of God, and he holds on to them by faith, and he goes out into the battle by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, what shall we say unto these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that was the spirit of Joshua, going out by faith into the battle, trusting that God would bring the victory. The victory would come not because Joshua was a mighty warrior, not because Joshua knew how to use the sword, though he did, not because his men knew how to chop heads off, though they did. The Lord said, Joshua, you're not going to win the battle simply because of your strength. It will be my strength that will bring victory in the battle. Oh, what a blessing to know that. When I came to the church here, there was no established salary. There was no established church. It was simply a church planting opportunity. And as Brother Getz said a moment ago, it was not me. It was not my family. It's not been our staff. But to the glory of God, he has done a great work and is doing a great work in your church. And God delights in using people who are willing to simply hold to the promises by faith. By the way, we need to hold to those promises even when the trials come. Even when someone says you're stupid for dressing modestly. Even when someone makes fun of you because you won't listen to their trashy music. Even when someone makes fun of you because you won't watch their movie filled with nudity and cursing, and you get up and walk out. And they make fun of you, and the trials come. You just keep on holding on to the promise that God wants to use you and bless your life. Psalm 27 and verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes you might feel like the fellow that was in the boxing ring, and boy, he came out for a minute to the corner during one of the breaks, and his trainer was saying, man, you're doing great, champ, and you're just doing great. They haven't laid a glove on you. Just keep fighting. You're doing fine. And the champ looked at his trainer and said, you better keep an eye on that referee then, because somebody in that ring is beating the daylights out of me. Sometimes you feel that way. Sometimes you feel like the devil's punching you and punching you and bothering you and bothering you, but you hold to the promise of God and you trust Him every single step of the way. I wonder today if you would hear the promise, I'll be with you, I'll fight for you, and hold to that promise. I think about so many young people that we've had the privilege of ministering to here in the church and in the college. People that perhaps didn't have what you and I might consider the best background or the best of upbringing, but they had a heart to hear the promise of God. And someone preached and said, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter what color you are, it doesn't matter what side of the tracks you come from, there's a God in heaven who has promises in a book called the Bible, and if you'll hear and hold to those promises, God will use you. And by the way, God will use anyone in this room that wants to be greatly used of God. I think about Linda Phillips, saved over in Bakersfield, and out of Pastor Fred Feast, one of our graduates. She got saved and came to West Coast Baptist College, and her family completely disowned her. They said, if you're going to go there, you're going to be a part of that, don't bother ever coming home again. And sometimes you'll face that. Sometimes an unsaved parent will say, what do you want to go to a Bible college for? Why, it's not even accredited. It doesn't even have this or that. And my friend, I want to tell you, if you go into the ministry, there's one accreditation you need, and it's the anointing power of the Holy Spirit of God on your life. You need the power of God more than anything. And this young lady was ridiculed, and her family said, don't ever bother to come back. She came to West Coast Baptist College, and by faith and with little money, trusting the Lord, she met a young man while she was here, and they've served on staff at the First Baptist Church of Long Beach until just recent days, and God has since called them to Cambodia, and they're now serving the Lord Jesus Christ, winning Cambodians to Christ. Why? Not because she had so much money, not because she had a mom and dad who loved her and wanted her to be in Bible college, not because she was so powerful and popular or had so many things. I'm telling you why. She had one thing going for her. She believed that there was a God in heaven who could use a little Oriental girl who was just learning English and just getting adapted to the culture. She believed that God could touch her life and save her and use her. And souls are being saved today because of her faith in God. Don't you think she had to hold on to that faith? Don't you think she had to remember the verses she memorized when her family said, don't bother coming back for dinner? She kept trusting and believing. I think of a young man that's here today, Brother Paul Choi. Paul was a young man growing up not far from here, a man that had an opportunity in a career serving God, serving in the world, actually serving in the retail industry, selling clothing. He wasn't real interested in spiritual things, but God got a hold of Paul's heart. God brought him to West Coast Baptist College, and he yielded his life to full-time ministry. He said, I don't want to make money. That's not my goal anymore. I'm not so concerned about what I can get materially, though that was a part of the culture he had seen and had some desire in. And God called this young man to preach, and today he's a youth pastor at the Bible Baptist Church in Gardena. I say again, why? Because he heard the promise of God that God could use even him, and he surrendered his life. And today, the Choi family are winning souls to Christ and bringing people down the aisle to the Lord Jesus Christ week after week because he's holding on to the promises of God. I think of Sarah Case, a young lady that came here to West Coast Baptist College, and she was advised not to even try college. She was told that academically she would struggle, and she was not the greatest student. She didn't have necessarily all of the intellectual giftedness, but she did have a belief in her heart that God could use her. And so when some would take time, maybe 30 minutes to study for a test, she would take 2 hours to study for the test. And when some didn't even seem to study much, she had to stay up late at night and get tutoring and get help. And yet through it all, she sat in chapel and heard the preaching. She had a good attitude. She loved the Lord. She went to dorm devotions and she enjoyed that. And she enjoyed the missionary prayer band and she enjoyed the college life. And she did the very best she could. Though she struggled academically, she never gave up. She met her husband, Ryan. And today they've graduated from West Coast Baptist College, and as I speak to you, they are missionaries in the country of Mexico, not because she was rich and not because she had so much money, but she had a great faith in the Word of God like Joshua, and she simply believed that God would win the battles for her and God would provide the finances for her, and she was willing to do what God had called her to do. I remember when Luis Montano came to our church, just a little gangbanger, frankly. Luis walked into the church and had his long shorts and his white t-shirt. his gang affiliation in a town nearby. He describes himself now as a droopy drawer, shaved head gangbanger. But something happened when he came to Lancaster Baptist Church. He heard the gospel and got saved. Oh, the world would look at him. They wouldn't see much. I mean, associated with a gang. Came into church, just kind of rough looking bus kid. Didn't have much money. Didn't have anything but a broken family in his background. I'll never forget when he stood back here at the foyer several years ago. And he said, Pastor Chapel, I got saved. And he said, I was thinking about going to a Bible college. Do you know of a good Bible college? I thought he was joking. I said, just happen to know of one for you. He enrolled at West Coast Baptist College. At first he struggled. This thing academically was a challenge for him. And yet he kept studying and studying. I remember when he came to me in his junior year and said, God has called me to go to Mexico. I want to plant a church in Mexico just like Lancaster Baptist Church. I want to start a Bible college just like West Coast Baptist College. I didn't put him down. I didn't demean him. I just thought to myself, okay, fine, wonderful. I wasn't seeing that happening, but he had that in his heart. And I remember as he kept studying and studying and studying, I remember when he came before our pastoral staff and deacons for ordination, how he began to describe the eschatology that he had learned, how he began to give the Greek definitions of the words with the questions he was asked. I remember when he graduated with honors from West Coast Baptist College, and today he's planted a church in Hermosillo, Mexico, and souls are being saved day after day after day. Why? Because he had a good Christian school, and he had a good Christian mommy and a good Christian daddy. Why, everybody in Lancaster comes from a rich little family with lots of money. No, my friend, I'm telling you, sometime God delights in reaching down and touching those who didn't have it all and didn't understand all the verses at a little small age, and they didn't necessarily know how to dress, and maybe they had a little bit of a rough background. But God said, if you'll believe my word, I'll use your life. Amen. There are some young people here still thinking to yourself, I don't know if I really want to leave Gilgal. I mean, I don't mind going to the conferences. I don't mind hanging around the church. But this idea of being a soul winner and this idea of standing up for Jesus or maybe going to Bible college or someday being a preacher or a preacher's wife or a school teacher or an evangelist, I'm just not sure that I could do that. And I've got to tell you, my friend, you can't do it, but God can do it through you. I remember when Jacques Van Ruyen came to our church. Kind of a punk kid, really. Brother Jeremy Whitman, who you've seen in the little ladybug outfit last night. Jeremy Whitman got saved here. He came in with his earring and his long hair and his attitude. But that's no match for the power of the gospel. And Jeremy graduated from Bible college, got in the ministry. He said, Pastor, I'd like to start a Bible club at a public school. Went over to the public school and met this young man. I remember when Jock came in, he was a CIF decorated wrestler and had a tremendous athletic ability, had kind of bushy hair and weird clothes on, had one of these beanie things people wear, had on just a lot of different colors. I looked at him and I said, man, we're glad you're here. And he came in, began to grow in the Lord. I remember when he decided he was going to come to West Coast Baptist College. He'd been involved in a broken home, and his mom had been through a couple divorces, and he didn't know exactly what God wanted for his life, but he heard someone say, go to college, go to Bible college for a year, and just listen to preaching pretty consistently, and get some Bible doctrine, get a foundation for your life. And somewhere through that first year, he came to me and said, I believe God's calling me to preach. Again, I didn't put him down. I prayed with him. He said, I think that's what the Lord has for me. I remember a few years later, Dr. Siski came and he said, Pastor Chapel, during the missions conference, God has burdened me to go to China. I said, Jock, you got to understand, you can't go to China. Be willing to go if you can go someday, but people can't go to China right now. It's a communist country. You got to recognize you just can't go over there and be a missionary like that. Jock met a wonderful girl here, Rebecca from Arkansas. The two of them were married. They surrendered their lives to missions. They went up and served at the Heritage Baptist Church with Pastor Fong for a few years. And today they're finishing up their last few months in God of raising funds, and God has miraculously open a door, and within a few days they'll be on their way to China establishing an independent fundamental Baptist church to the glory of God. You know why? Because when he had faith to believe that God could do it, God saw his faith and God opened the door and made a way. Young person today, God can and will make a way. He has a promise for you. His promise to Joshua was very simple. Tomorrow, about this time, will I deliver them up all slain before you. God has a plan for your life, even when the obstacles come. Never forget God saw them before they happened. Never forget that God has a plan for your life. And never forget that God has a promise for your life. And the promise is he's going to fight the battle for you. He's going to open the door for you. He's going to get you through. He will provide a way. Why? Because with God's calling comes God's enabling, and God's not going to ask you to do something that he's not going to help you do and help you accomplish for his glory. God has a plan for your life, teenager, and God has a promise that he'll give his power. But I want you to see this with me finally. God has a purpose in all of this. Not only does God's plan include his power working through your life, but I want you to see something there in verse 6 that strikes my heart. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hold their horses and burn their chariots with fire." Now notice the word thou. God says, I'm going to do a great work in your midst. In Joshua 3:5, he said, tomorrow the Lord's going to do wonders among you. He knew the victory came from the Lord, but he also wanted Joshua to do his part. He said, you're going to take, and the word hoe means you're going to cut the hindquarters of those horses. You're going to destroy their military might. You're going to burn their chariots with fire. He said, I'm the one who's going to bring confusion to the enemy. I'm the one who's going to give you the power to have the victory. But you've got to do your part as well. And you are not going to see teenagers in Tennessee or Florida or Maine or Pennsylvania or Hawaii coming to Christ. You're not going to see young people cease from their wicked ways and turn to Jesus Christ. Unless you are willing to do your part in this matter, he said, you will touch them. You will have a part. You see, God has a purpose in his calling, and the purpose is simply to use you as a part of his plan. Isaiah 6 and verse 8, Isaiah said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I'm thankful today that God has a purpose for my life. And Dr. Goetz, you were so right. I remember as a seventh grade boy in Palmer Lake, Colorado. I remember just as a young man sitting at a summer camp in Colorado and listening to preaching all week long and hearing preachers tell me things like this. I remember a preacher saying, if you believe God wants you to be a preacher someday, I want you to come up here and pray and give your life to the Lord to be a preacher. And as a 13-year-old boy, I went to the altar and I knelt down and I said, Jesus, I want to be a preacher someday. I want you to use me. I believe you're calling me to be a preacher. And I thank God that I never got over that decision. I never forgot that decision. I never relinquished the fact in my spirit that God had a purpose in calling me for the ministry. But I want you to know also, he has a purpose in enabling you for the ministry. God will call you, and then God will enable you. Notice verse 7. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel. Now notice that Joshua ran to the need. When he understood what God wanted him to do, like Philip in the book of Acts to the Ethiopian eunuch, he ran to do what God wanted him to do. Young person, if you're here right now and you believe God wants you in ministry, he wants you to be a preacher, he wants you to somehow get the gospel out, he wants you to turn away from old friends, he wants you to turn away from sin, you don't need to sit in this pew 1 minute longer. You need to determine now and say, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do. Joshua ran to do what God had called him to do. And I'm saying some of you need to start running from sin and start running to God. God loves with a great love the man whose heart is bursting forth with a passion to see the impossible done. He's looking for teenagers right now who believe God and who will trust God and who will run
to do what he has called them to do. I'm saying some of you want to lay around and you want to spend some time over here in Gilgal. You just want to hang out with your friends and your girlfriend. Some of you look to this church and this activity as just another opportunity to be a little cool boy running around with your sunglasses and your backward hat and just kind of cool. You got your rock music in your iPod and you think your youth director doesn't know it. And you've been at youth conference up here on the hilltop and in Gilgal, but you're going to be right back with your rock music the minute you get on your bus. Listening to wickedness and ungodliness and trying to be Joe Cool. You want to relax. You want to chill out. I'm telling you right now, you don't need to chill out for the devil 1 second longer. You need to run to God. Run to Jesus Christ and do what God has called you to do. So many young people today are just in it for the good times and the restful time and the fellowship time. But there's a battle going on and there are soldiers needed and it's time to enlist in the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying it's time to get off Facebook and get into God's book. I'm saying it's time to simply stop messing around on the computer and looking at things that are wicked and wrong and open up the Word of God and find something that's right and holy and pleasing to the Lord. It's time to pass out some gospel tracts. It's time to say, here am I, Lord, use me. God has a purpose for your life and he wants to use you for his honor and glory. Joshua ran to do what God had called him to do. And Joshua in verse number 9 cut the back end of those horses and burnt those chariots with fire. I'm looking forward to the day when I hear that some young man in this room goes into his public school, figures out a way to start a Bible club, and begins to bring some friends in, and they trust Christ as Savior. And some of you in Christian school say, hey, let's get a stronger soul-winning fervor, and let's not fight our youth director. Let's work with our youth director. Some of you ought to go home from this conference and say, preacher, what can I do to be a blessing to you? How can I help you, pastor? Pastor, where do you want us teenagers to knock some doors? How do you want us to help in the Bible school this summer in vacation Bible school? I want to be a part. I want to run to doing what God wants me to do. I'm not here just to sit on the back row slouching down. I'm not here to listen to my iPod during church. I'm not here to mess around and be a problem. I want to be a blessing in my local church, running to the will of God. Oh, he dared to leave Gilgal. Joshua had to get up. He had to go out and he had to fight the fight that God had for him. Oh, every great man of God had the same story. Abraham believed and followed God. Joseph dared to dream and follow God. Daniel dared to pray 3 times a day when it wasn't popular. And young people, you may grow up in a United States of America where there will be people telling you, don't you pray for your lunch when you ask a meal in the restaurant. Stop praying and saying the name of Jesus Christ. There may come a time when they tell preachers like me, stop preaching against homosexuality. Why, that's a hate crime to say anything against those poor downtrodden minority called homosexuals. You shouldn't preach that way anymore. I'm saying there may be laws mandating, telling us stop using the name of Jesus and stop preaching against the sins of the day. But there needs to be a generation to say whether we ought to obey you. I cannot say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we ought to obey God rather than men. We will stand up and preach the truth. We will go out into the battle. I'll tell you what many churches are doing now. They're laying down on their cot. They're changing their standards. They're no longer preaching against sin. They're no longer going out to fight the Canaanites. That as long as no one will rock their boat, they're just going to stay in their comfort zone. But we need some men of God who will get out of their comfort zone, who will hazard themselves, and who will say, I'm going to stand up for America. I'm going to preach the truth for my country. I'm not going to watch this country turn over to the pluralist and turn over to the atheists and turn over to those who would rather worship Islam than Jesus Christ. I will lift up the name of Jesus Christ in my society, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Oh, listen, today we need young men right now to start dreaming. I'm saying like Luis Montaño, who said, I'm going to go to Mexico and start a church. And he said it when he was 19. And Jacques Van Ruyen, who said, I'm going to go to China and start a church. Some of you aren't very far from 19 right now. It's time to start dreaming. It's time to start praying. It's time to start acting with the opposite sex like you plan to be a preacher someday and not some kind of a scoundrel. It's time for some of you young ladies to go ahead now and start acting like a woman of God. I get sick and tired of seeing Christian young people looking more and more like the world, and more like some type of a pop show, and more like some kind of a rock star. Listen, you ought to get around your preacher a little bit. Get around your preacher's wife. You're not going to find a fundamental independent Baptist preacher's wife with a ring in her nose, or showing the flesh, or a man of God running around, acting worldly, drinking alcohol. Look at, you don't need to emulate the world, my friend. Find some godly people and learn from them and stand with them and take your stand and follow God's precept that He wants to use your life. I think of Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Robertson surrendered his life at a young age and for 40 years pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dr. Sisk was a member there for many years. The church grew to some 30,000 members. Baptized some 60,000 people were baptized at the Highland Park Baptist Church because of one man who said, have faith in God, have faith in God, have faith in God. And thousands of young men and women were influenced by this one man's faith. I'm saying the day ought to come when some old-fashioned fundamental churches with the right kind of preaching and the right kind of living and the right kind of music once again will take our place in this society and raise up a godly standard. I'm going to tell you, Lee Robertson never had a Christian rock band, and his youth director didn't wear an earring, and the women didn't come up on the platform immodestly. I'm saying it's not about all of that. It's about the Word of God and the power of God and letting God use your life, young person. Oh, I think about Dr. A.V. Henderson, 1975. He took the Temple Baptist Church of Detroit and for many years ministered to some 10,800 members year after year after year, and stood there and proclaimed the blessed assurance and the blessed hope and just kept preaching and preaching and preaching. Oh, I understand some of these churches now are running 500 or 600 or do not exist any longer. Someone says, where are the great churches, Brother Chapel? I don't know. Where are they? When are some of you going to start them? When are you going to help us get back to the old paths? Stop lamenting it. Stop trying to look at those methodologies that are not biblical and emulate it. I'm saying let's get back to the book, back to soul winning, back to righteous living, back to fighting the battle God's way. I think of Dr. Tom Malone, how he preached for us. All three of these men have preached in this room. Dr. Malone so many times stirred my soul. For some 62 years, a gospel preacher from a poor family in Alabama. But God reached down and touched his heart and called him into ministry. And in 1942, he rented out an old pool hall and he swept off the dance floor and he moved some furniture around and he swept it up and cleaned it up and he stood up and preached his first message there in Pontiac, Michigan, Emmanuel Baptist Church. And for more than 55 years, God used that man in that great area of Detroit, and thousands upon thousands of people were saved and many, many people called to full-time ministry. I'm saying he was willing to step out and let God use his life. Oh, you say, but Brother Chapel, they're in heaven now. Yes, that's why I'm telling you about them. We need another Tom Malone, and we need another Lee Robertson, and we need some young people here to start dreaming and to say, God, here I am, use me. I think of my dear friend, Dr. Curtis Hudson, saved at the age of 11. He was a mail carrier and a part-time preacher. When he attended a Sword of the Lord conference, he went to that Sword of the Lord conference in 1961, and he heard the preachers talking about something called soul winning. He thought you could only get saved at the revival meetings at the church, but he saw some men teaching that you could lead people to the Lord in other places besides the church house. And it just got a hold of him, and it got all over him, and he got involved in soul winning, and he got involved in going out to the neighborhoods and knocking on doors, anybody he could talk to. It didn't matter which neighborhood. It didn't matter where he was, leading people to Jesus Christ. And year after year, God used the man until he built the largest fundamental church, the largest Baptist church of any kind in the state of Georgia. Why? Because he was a great educated man? Not necessarily, but because of the fact that he had a great faith in God, and God used him in a mighty way. He enabled them. I'm saying to you today, he can enable you and call you today. And I believe with all of my heart that we need some Christians in America to get off their cot, to get out of Gilgal, and to pick up their sword once again and march out into the battle and say, it's been nice here. I enjoy the Christian music. Listen, the Christian life is not about sitting around listening to a gospel quartet. We don't need any more of these folks involved in public professionalism. We need some of our singers to get involved in personal evangelism. I don't have a plug's nickel worth or time for someone that wants to sing and sing and sing, but never tell somebody how to get saved. We don't need another Christian entertainer. We don't need more and more Christian entertainment. We don't need to sit over here in Gilgal listening to our iPod much longer. It's time to turn off the iPod and get out soul winning and do something for God. Amen. This little entertainment mentality. Okay, Brother Schmidt, entertain me. Show me some more funny skits. No, it's time to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Amen. I'm ready to leave Gilgal and go out and do what God wants me to do. What is your Gilgal? Is it a boyfriend? Is it a girlfriend? Is it California is too far to go to college? What's your Gilgal? What's your little comfort zone you're holding on to? What's your little identity issue you're afraid if you got too sold out, you might have to give it up? What is your Gilgal right now? Is it something on your iPod? What is your Gilgal? What is it that's just kind of comfortable for you right now and holding you back just a little bit? I want to challenge you to step out from it today and turn from it if need be and do what God has called you to do. Don't look at the Christian life as just the Gilgal place to sit around and count some rocks and talk about what used to be. Listen, it's not just about what used to be. It's about what God still wants to do in the days ahead. I think of one who left far more than the United States of America, far more than just an opportunity here or there. I think of someone who left what we can only comprehend through the Scriptures, and that is heaven's glory and fellowship with the Father and the eternal Son of God, Jesus, who said, before Abraham was, I am. The one who said, I and my Father are one. Jesus Christ, my Savior. Jesus Christ, your Savior. Jesus Christ, who had the greatest comforts the world could ever even dream about, the greatest fellowship that we could even dream about in heaven with the Father. And he voluntarily left heaven and he came down to this earth. And through the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit, he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And Jesus Christ on this earth lived a perfectly sinless life for 33 and a half years. He left heaven's glory. He left his Gilgal. He came down to this wretched, sin-sick planet called Earth, and here he lived a perfectly sinless life. And finally, as you heard preached, no doubt, in recent weeks, he was falsely accused for being divisive and for being one who troubled the whole nation of Israel. And he was brought before Pontius Pilate, and he was beaten with a cat of nine tails by the Roman soldiers. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, was taken to the hill of the skull, Golgotha, and there the Roman soldiers placed the nails through his hands and through his feet, and they thrust a sword through his side, and the crown was placed upon his head, and the blood came flowing down. He said, I thirst, and they thrust vinegar into his mouth, and they mocked him and said, if thou be the Son of God, then come down from that cross. And Jesus Christ could have come down, and he could have called 10,000 angels and said, take me away. With his spoken word, he could have destroyed every one of those Roman soldiers, but instead, he chose to stay on that cross, and he suffered. And with every time he chose to breathe, he, with excruciating pain, would lift himself up just to get air. And the ligaments would tear, and the nerves would tear, and the blood would come out just a little bit more. And he suffered on that cross, and he died on that cross, finally saying to Telestai, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And my friend, Jesus did that so that you and I could have a home in heaven, so that you and I could have the Holy Spirit in our lives today. And he left all and gave his life that we might be saved. I want to ask you something. If he would leave all of that, and if he would do all of that, what should we do today? Well, You know, it's just embarrassing to go soul winning. My friends will make fun of me if I dress modestly, or if they say, let's go watch something wicked. They'll make fun of me if I don't. What will they think? It's time to stop worrying about that. And it's time to say, I'm going to leave Gilgal. I'm going to go do what God wants me to do. I'm going to be where God wants me to be. I believe that God has a plan for my life. I believe God has promised to provide for my life. And I believe God has a precept that though He's going to open the doors, He wants to use me in doing the work that He's called me to do. What's your Gilgal? Who's willing to get out of their comfort zone to be greatly used of God today?
Thank you for listening to this Student Ministry 127 podcast. For more sermon resources, visit preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. And for information about West Coast Baptist College, visit wcbc.edu.